Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. Joining me in the studio right now, candidate for the Houghton County Commissioners, is Glenn Anderson. You, of course, will know him as the outgoing city manager for Hancock. And Glenn, when people say they retire, they usually don't mean that they're going to take on another big responsibility, but that was in your mind.
Well, yes. I've been in local government my entire career. I'm certainly familiar with Houghton County just in my profession in Hancock for the last 23 years as city manager, dealing with a multitude of county officials. And of course, I'm retiring the end of this year and wanted to do something at least to keep active. And this one seemed to fit the bill for me and my family perfectly. So consequently, I decided to file and become a candidate for the county board for District 3, which includes the city of Hancock and Adams Township.
And there's no opponent in District 3, so as we're kind of talking about this, you will be the only one that's on the ballot come in November, but I still thought it was a great opportunity to talk about your thoughts now transferring your expertise and experience from the city level to the county level and find out what you're going to be bringing to a board that's going to look a lot different after November. We know that there will be at least three new faces on the county board, so at least three out of five will be new commissioners Gretchen Jansen, who was appointed earlier this month, but if she was to win again, she's running against Roy Britz. Either one of them will still be, you know, say a new elected face. And then yourself filling in the seat for the retiring Anton Pinter. And then, of course, the other district, the Chassel district, that was going to be decided there between, that Sharon Stoll or Roy Britz.
Correct. Okay.
Of course, and then Al Koskala's seat is also up. He's running, as well as Melissa Davis. So there's a lot of activity going into this November for the board. So let's talk about issues that are important to you as you're, you know, looking to, you know, have a vote in which way the county goes. What are some things that strike you as things that you want to address?
Well, my platform is quite simple. I don't profess to be an expert at county government yet. I have a lot to learn. I'm certainly an expert at local government, meaning cities and general law villages, but I certainly have some room to learn at the county level. Having said that, my issues are, I would like the county board particular to be even more involved in economic development. They do some currently. They have a revolving loan fund. They contract with the Cuban Economic Development Alliance with Jeff Radcliffe for professional assistance for economic development. But I think that's one that that can certainly countywide, the board can be more active in economic development, which I think I can bring some expertise and help with. The other one, which is a big one, I think, among citizens throughout the county, is they want the county board to listen to people, to be more transparent in their activities and deliberations and agendas, and just getting agendas publicized in a timely fashion to make sure that the public knows what's on the agenda. Usually, it's often the agenda's posted the same day or the day before, and you know, I think just good government to get something out a little bit earlier so people can see what's going on at the county level. I think other issues, those are the two big ones, I guess, would be just trying to be as good a steward for, you know, county government as possible. I mean, overall, including the Road Commission, the Western UP Health Department, and the medical care facility, the county is about a $50 million operation. The county board controls about $23 million of that, which is still a lot of money for local government, 95 full-time employees just at the county level, at least a dozen part-time employees. So it's a fairly large operation and one that I'm eager to learn more about.
Some of the county assets are within the city limits of Hancock, which certainly would add to your experience with just maybe being on the other side, but definitely dealing with them. You mentioned the Houghton County Medical Care Facility and then the fairgrounds as well, these in the marina being right down there near Hancock, just over on the other side of the bridge. So these are all things that you as a city manager, you've had dealings with, you know, in the past as far as helping to do Hancock side of managing.
Well, absolutely. And, of course, in addition to the ones you mentioned, the three that you mentioned, certainly the Houghton County Fair is ground central in the city of Hancock as well. So District 3 certainly incorporates a significant county presence, as you mentioned. And certainly the Houghton County Medical Care Facility, which is the crown jewel, I think, of county government in Houghton County because of the quality of service that it provides to the senior citizens of all of Houghton County and, of course, Keweenaw County as well, is vital to maintain. And of course, my predecessor, Anton Pinter, and current county commissioner for District 3, has worked very well to protect the interest in public ownership and continued public ownership of the Houghton County Medical Care Facility, which I strongly support. And obviously the county board in the last few years has also talked at least somewhat about disincorporating not only the medical care facility, but also the county arena, which again is home to the Houghton County Fair. And again, my position is just protect county assets. I mean, the county taxpayers have invested a lot of assets throughout the county, but particularly in those assets that are in the city of Hancock. And I would certainly work to protect those as public-owned investments for the taxpayers of Houghton County.
Yeah, the current board has previously asked about Hancock's interest of buying the fairgrounds and taking ownership of that. And, you know, I heard the city was not interested in that.
Yes, well, to the county's credit, they have maintained the county arena well. They've invested capital throughout the years when needed. All operations are done by a private nonprofit, so there's no operational cost to Houghton County ever. But the capital is important, and frankly, the Houghton County Arena is in great shape. They just put a new roof on. They repainted the beams on the inside, put dehumidifiers in between them and the nonprofit. They've put new bleachers in, including ADA access bleachers, and they also are in the process of sometime, I think, I think it's almost done now, installing the new artificial ice plant to be much more energy efficient, and that was all privately raised by fundraisers from the nonprofit association that runs the day-to-day operation. So having said that, there's no need to, it's in very, very good condition. I don't think the county has to make any further investments in the capital, at least for probably the next 20 years. So it's somewhat of a moot point who owns it. I think the county should continue owning it and protecting it for the investment that they have into it already.
Well, I have to ask everybody that's running for an office here on the board, even though that they are not part of the decision-making process that's leading to the proposal that will be on the ballot, the same as when your bid for election is on there as well. So you'll have a decision when you come back or when you get on the board. Talk about the board's direction on putting that proposal on the ballot to build a jail addition, and if it doesn't go through, you have to go back to the drawing board.
Well, of course, that's true, and that's a big countywide issue. It's certainly since, the last 20 years, this will be the third millage election put up by the county board for the public to consider, one in 2000, one in 2010. And, of course, now in 2018, if you remember, the 2000 ballot initiative was somewhat controversial. It would have been a standalone jail, district court, and new sheriff's facilities on the site of the old Houghton High School project, which is just west of the current courthouse. That one got involved somewhat, if you remember, it was quite controversial in the land acquisition issue of it, so that one never really got a fair hearing. The 2010 one, which would have been about a $15 million, brand new addition, brand new building, I should say, again, west of the courthouse. That one went down, 3-1 on a vote. I personally supported that one. I wrote letters to the editor saying I think it made sense from a standpoint of 1.2 mils. Was a very reasonable expectation for taxpayers to consider. But again, that failed. The county board, I think, correctly assessed that the next opportunity should be a cheaper version. They have certainly put that on, 0.75 mils, well under 1 mil. So that's certainly the cheapest one that probably ever will be presented to the taxpayers of Houghton County. So that's, I think, for those who at least argue that at least accomplishes addressing the very deficient county jail that we have currently, makes sense. As you said, the decision will be made by the time I'm elected. If it is approved by the taxpayers, my only goal would be to, of course, accept the wisdom of the taxpayers, but also to really work hard to make sure that that again, if it's approved, that there's many local jobs, meaning Houghton County contractors and Houghton County citizens get as many jobs as possible in the construction. There's many opportunities to do that, including just putting in the contract for bidding it out that says X amount of general contractor, general subs have to be from Houghton County. And so I would look at it more as an economic development angle, that if it's approved, the board owes it to the taxpayers to get as many citizens working there and companies that are in Houghton County working there as possible.
All right, well said. I've heard people joke with you about with the amount of the flood damage that we just had over the summer. They've joked with you, all, if you had just retired last year, or if the disaster had waited another year, that you would have just missed it. But I think that Hancock residents were very fortunate that you were still there with your experience. Now, nothing against Mr. Givens coming in, but that would have been a hard thing to happen in his first year. So at least with you on you in your still in that office, you were able to manage that, do the damage control quite literally. What is the state with of that, and what have you learned from helping Hancock manage its recovery that will help you with Houghton counties?
Well, I think one, it's an interesting observation you make. Certainly, I was expecting a fairly easy year, frankly, one that I could work on the transition more to get the new city manager prepared. He's, of course, not starting till December 1st, but I could still have spent a lot of time getting my files ready, getting information out. And we still have, even before the flood, still had quite a few projects. We got the new beach dock project. We got a repaving project. We have a couple grant applications pending with the DNR. So it's still been a pretty busy year. But having said that, as since July 17th, that changed everything. I mean, administratively, I certainly am as busy now than I've ever been in my entire career, not only in Hancock but elsewhere. And it's just accessing the paperwork and the administrative work to make sure that we're fully eligible for all of the federal highway funds that are available, and then now the FEMA funds that President Trump approved in August. So, in Hancock's case, we're at about $10.8 million of damage, just getting the projects designed, get ready to be bid out. Obviously, the lockout hasn't helped from a fall perspective. Most of, if not all, of the FEMA projects won't happen until 2019. So, and the biggest challenge we all have going into this time period is trying to determine the local match, how we're going to pay for the local match. For Houghton County local governments alone, it's $71 million of damages and about $9.2 million of local match, and that's even after the governor, to his credit, approved on the FEMA side agreeing to pay half of the local match. So the local match required is 25%. He approved authorization to pay half of that, 12.5%. But every local government on the FEMA side still has to pay 12.5%, which is still a big number. So we're working very, very hard with all of the many leaders in Houghton County, local governments, to try to address that and to try to get a special supplemental appropriations through the state that would either pay most or all of the local match for all local units of government.
One of the options that was discussed with the Hancock City Council was, having to borrow the money through a couple of different opportunities to do that. Are you looking possibly the same on the county level?
Well, all local governments in Houghton County pretty much have the same three options. That is to, to borrow on the market, which generally is fairly expensive. Do a bond issue on the open market. The other one is to use a governmental agency such as Rural Development, which is a federal agency under the Department of Agriculture, or for those of us lucky enough to be gas tax communities like Act 50, which is Act 51, which is only the two cities, the two villages, and the Road Commission. They can borrow through a program with MDOT, but it's and that can be as low, I know Houghton County Road Commission got $4 million at 0% interest for 5 years, but that's still an annual payment of $800,000 for the five-year period. But those are kind of the options. The other one, of course, would be to try to get a supplemental appropriation, and that's what we're working on because, frankly, none of the local governments in Houghton County have the luxury of affording the amount of local match that still is required.
if the money does have to be borrowed and then paid back, are residents looking at proposals coming next year or down the road where it's going to be, where the residents are asked to shoulder that responsibility?
It's certainly possible. That certainly could happen. It's a little bit too early to tell both what the interest rate would be, what's available as far as length of amortization on a bond, and then you just take some of the five local townships, that really have no significant cash, or budget to pay off any type of a loan, at least both cities and perhaps even a village or two and the road commission have some assets that can make things happen. But as I think you've heard, Houghton County Road Commission, their local match is about $7 million, and that's the equivalent to their entire budget on an annual basis. So a lot of challenges there from a scale perspective.
If it doesn't snow for the next couple of years, that might help.
At least. That's true. If there were mild winters for the next 20 years, we would be all in better shape.
The roads that are in such bad condition, both within the city limits and in the county area, that are not going to be repaired, and even the ones that were slated to because of the lockout situation with the road workers, what further damage can people expect throughout, after the winter's over and the spring melt comes?
Well, first, local government is working very, very strongly to get bid packages out. I mean, we'll have a couple bid out yet this fall. I know the Houghton County Road Commission last week had eight projects bid out, basically large washout box culvert replacements for culverts that were washed out during the flood. We have three projects we're planning to bid out yet this fall, and one that we're trying to get added on to an existing project that was already bid out by MDOT. And that's in progress, and we expect approval of that. As you said, though, that seems to be stopped cold with the lockout that the operating engineers and the union contractors in Michigan have instituted since September 4th. Bottom line, some of our roads may be blocked or shut down for the winter because of the inability to get the work done. And then two, of course, we all would fear the spring runoffs. If we had a serious spring runoff, meaning a quick melt, we would have significant washouts again, even though there is money available, certainly in 2019, to repair all that, because the money is there. It's just a matter of accessing it. So that's our biggest fear, is the spring runoff. And, of course, any heavy rain that still is out there between now and until the roads freeze as well.
Now, when up on top of Quincy Hill, and, of course, even over here on the Hurontown side, those drainage systems were so badly damaged because of that. I mean, these are systems that were set up back in the mining days, and now they're kind of a wreck. We're hearing it's going to take millions and millions of dollars before any of those to be fixed adequately. Are we looking at this fear of it raining continuing for a while because there's no way to really address all of that?
Yes, I think that's accurate. Our rain events seem to be of longer duration and more rain. That's a trend. So that's even more of a concern. As you said, some of the orphan sites of these old mining storm drain systems, like in Ripley on 2nd Street, is a classic example of that, and literally could be hundreds of thousands of dollars to install new ones. And again, even if FEMA covers the cost, there's still the local match of 12.5% attributable to whatever township's working on it. The good news is, at least as most people know, the DNR is spending millions as we speak on putting new culverts in, bigger culverts on some of their drainage structures. Some of the most critical orphan dam sites that were built in the mining area, generally up on the area and on the hill behind Ripley and as you head toward Dollar Bay and all the way up to Lake Linden, at least are being addressed for the first time ever since the mining companies abandoned those dams and those drainage structures. So there's some positive things going on, but that work still would not be completed well into the next year. So we're still at the whim of some heavy rain issues. Mm-hmm.
Well, these, because of so much financial obligations that the county has, these might fall on the wish list category, but let's start with a couple of things. First is, Hancock is they're the gem when it comes to setting the standard for recycling, curbside recycling, and making that available to his residents. Hancock was doing it long before anybody else was doing it to any great scale, and it's starting to catch on. But the county has been unable to come up with a plan on how to be able to provide that kind of recycling effort countywide. People can bring things to the transfer station, but right now, you know, there's not a plan in place on how to be able to make, you know, the recycling easier. Is there anything that can be brought from your time in Hancock that can be, you know, applied to that problem?
Yes. I think, you know, one of my smaller goals on the county board, besides the ones I mentioned, was to certainly improve recycling opportunities for citizens, at least starting at the Houghton County Transfer Station, ideally expanding that to the north end and perhaps some recycling in the south end as well, because, as you know, Houghton County is such a huge county geographically as a footprint. Right now, recycling is at the county level and through the Houghton County Transfer Station is minimal. You know, there is metal recycling for free available at the county transfer station. There is cardboard recycling available for residents for free, but then commercial customers have to pay, I think it's $4 or $5 a truckload. So those are some low-hanging fruit that could be clearly implemented with minimal cost increases. However, having said that, right now, I think the Houghton County transfer, their garbage operation, loses about $12,000 a year. So that's one thing. Before we expand service, we certainly would want to look at making sure that there's make break-even propositions. But for a relatively modest amount of investment, I think recycling opportunities can easily be enhanced.
What about electronics recycling?
Well, I think electronics recycling has at least been solved at probably as much as it's going to be in Houghton County, and that's with the partnership with the Goodwill Industries, especially at the airport, and some of their partners to provide at least regular recycling at very modest fees for any type of electronics, including old TVs and printers and computer screens, and do it in a legitimate legal manner that's authorized, by Michigan law. So I think that's resolved itself. Of course, they had the free, electronics collection at the airport back a couple months ago. It was highly successful. Several hundred people participated in that. And going forward, at least that's been addressed. I'm not sure it can get any better than what's actually been set up by. And that was largely between the Houghton County Recycling Committee, which is a volunteer group not directly affiliated with the county and local governments.
Next question. Both the cities of Houghton and Hancock have independent transit systems. They do traverse across the bridge, but they operate independently. But then the outlying areas do not have any public transit. And with so many areas like whether it's Atlantic Mine, Chassel, Calumet, those with residents that need to come into town, whether for medical appointments, grocery shopping, is there anything that the county can do, maybe working with the cities, to make that public transit available to some of our spider areas?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. Of course, you go back far enough. Actually, the original transit that was set up was a countywide transit system that was probably in the 70s, early 80s, when that collapsed and the city of Houghton kept theirs going took what was available and started running it. We just, in the city, we're on, I think, our 15th year of transit. Having said that, the Community Action Agency in Houghton County does have funds and gets funds available from MDOT for limited transit services throughout the county. That's fairly limited. That could certainly be grown by the Community Action Agency if they wish to. That would be the most logical opportunity for expansion. If not, local units of government, the subsidy that's still necessary to operate a transit is still at about 25%. So in other words, 50% is available from the state and federal government to operate a transit. 25% is collected by fees and user fees, but meaning charges. But a unit of government still has to subsidize it to the tune of between 20 and 25%, the way the numbers are. So for most local governments, they don't have the funds available for that. So I don't know if the county can play a direct role in that. That's because the county got out of the countywide transit way back years and years ago. But public transportation is still very much a need in Houghton County, for the, especially for the elderly and disabled.
Yeah, definitely. Well, the city of Hancock is unfortunately losing you as a city manager, gaining you as a county commissioner representing the city. The city, we talked about the change that the county board's going to have. The city council of Hancock is going to look remarkably different with the mayor and mayor pro tem, and then Joe Bauman, all, you know, so Lisa McKenzie, Ted Belay, and Joe Bauman all not running again. So there's going to be a massive changeover in there, and also a new city manager with Barry Givens coming on. Well, how confident do you feel as you pass the torch on that things will continue in the right direction for Hancock?
Well, I think Hancock is a great community to live in, raise a family. It's quite progressive. It's done very well for itself economically. Community development has been strong. There's certainly opportunities for more of that. You know, with a strong, with the, as we talked, Houghton County Medical Care Facility with hundreds of employees, the Portage Health System Hospital with hundreds of employees, the community is really, from a economic development perspective, health related, between the nursing homes and the doctor's offices, dental offices, Western UP Health Department, mental health group homes. I mean, you run down the list. It's poised quite well for the future as far as a local economy. There's probably 2,500 jobs that are in the city and growing. There's at least 250 employers in the city and growing. So the future is quite bright. I think the leadership on the council has been very good. The new people coming on are good. There'll be one position that'll have to be appointed by the city council, or there could be write-ins for that final opening on the city council. John Slevon is coming back on the council. He's a veteran of the city. As you said, we're losing Mayor McKenzie and Mayor Pro Tem Ted Belay. Both of them have been on the council 12 and 20 years respectively, so they bring a lot of institutional knowledge and memory. But like all things, it's probably I can understand why they would want to leave the council. It's been a long run for them. And I think it's going to be exciting next several years for the city.
Glenn, thanks so much.
Thanks for the opportunity, Rick. I appreciate it very much.
You're welcome. Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.